This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast.
Welcome to MuggleCast episode 260. It is our end of the year show, and it's an exciting time because we try to do these every month now, but we skipped November. It's sort of just not on purpose, it just sort of slipped by us. Our last episode was the end of October, and now we're back. And for fun, since it's the end of the year, we thought, well, why don't we stream it on Google Hangouts and on YouTube? And it's working good so far. I love Google Hangout. Eric has no accessories today, but Micah has a Dr. Seuss hat. And we have sound effects, and I have glasses, and a Santa hat, but the Santa hat is real.
The glasses are cool. They kind of pop out every time you move.
Move forward.
It's really high tech. It's cool. Google did a good job with this. So what we're going to do, we have some news to catch up on today, and going to recall some MuggleCast moments of the year, and Eric has compiled the top 7 Harry Potter moments of 2012, and we're going to talk about what we have to look forward to in 2013, and at the end of the show, Micah has an announcement, which I'm excited for. I can't guess what it is, so this is very exciting. And
I don't even know what it is.
You're going to shock the world. I think you're going to profess your love for Eric and I. I think that's what it is.
Well, that's a given. That was already known.
I've been waiting for that.
You do that at the end of every show. So, Micah, what is in the news this month for the last time of 2012, for our 7th year?
Well, Pottermore is in the news, and not for bad reasons. I know that normally we like to bomb Pottermore just a little bit. But the Prisoner of Azkaban book finally released, the first 7 chapters, appropriately. And we got some new information from J.K. Rowling. A lot more than what I remember from the first set of chapters in Chamber of Secrets. And I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I figured they're releasing more chapters in batches, larger batches now, because there's more chapters in Prisoner of Azkaban. That would make sense, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so hopefully, I was going through it when it opened up, and I was surprised that there was 7, because I kept going and going, and it wasn't ending, and I was like, oh, well, this is nice. So I guess in the future, maybe I'm thinking they'll want to do like 4 releases a year, 4 or 5 releases a year, so with the bigger books, that will mean more chapters per release.
Mm. Very much so, and that's exciting. I mean, judging by what I heard of the content so far, it's tremendous.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm pulling up the breakdown right now that I did. We got a lot of new content from J.K. Rowling, which is what I've said time and time and again on the show, and I think everybody's in agreement. That's one of the better features of Pottermore, is that we get new information related to the world, thanks to J.K. Rowling. She spoke about Aunt Marge. She spoke about the night bus. She talked about Sir Cadogan. Cadogan?
I've always said Cadogan.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Professor Kettleburn, which I forgot existed.
In case you were wondering about him, you know.
Yeah.
There's some stuff.
That may be like the smallest thing she's released.
Like the sleeper surprise.
Right. And then finally, Boggarts. She released information on.
Yep. You mean you don't go to Pottermore just to collect the chocolate frog cards?
No. Though I'm always clicking around the scenes to try to find the hidden stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like it because once your mouse is hovering near something, it starts doing the sound effects, so you get an idea of that you're getting close to something that you can pick up. But, okay, you know how I used to preach the whole pets thing? Like, Pottermore should have pets to get people to come back a lot. Now, I think J.K. Rowling needs to start dropping giant bombs in... these new character profiles. Because, for example, Aunt Marge, I was reading through that, and I was praying that she was going to reveal Aunt Marge was a lesbian. Wouldn't that have been exciting?
Yeah.
There would have been all these headlines in the news, J.K. Rowling outs another character, and would have brought more people into Pottermore. But unfortunately, there wasn't any real shockers about Aunt March, but I think she could have passed as a lesbian, right? So,
you know, I was peeking through the Boggart reveal kind of information, and I was surprised that she didn't just admit that the monster under the bed or monster in the closet that children fear, it has something to do with the Boggart. I always drew that connection, you know, because a kid always thinks there's something under the bed or always thinks there's something in the closet. I did, you know, when I was a kid. And I just always thought the Boggart was kind of like reminiscent of that or the wizard answer to that. But when I read, she didn't seem to admit that at all. In fact, she said that they're like half alive and are only like poltergeists and don't exactly, you know, it just didn't seem to be at all what I thought.
So what were you expecting?
I was expecting it to be, you know, well, she said like muggles can't see them, but then that right there removes my theory that, you know, it's like the monster under the bed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I guess in the way that they can't see Dementors either.
Yeah.
You know, they can just feel their effects sometimes.
Right.
I don't know. I always just thought there was a distinct relation between the monster under the bed and Boggarts. But
I'm just wondering how we got from Aunt Marge being a lesbian to Boggarts.
Well, you know,
how did that transition occur?
It's me bringing it back around there, Micah. It's just me bringing it.
Yeah. Eric decided to take a serious approach to Pottermore. Selena's joining us now, by the way. Hello,
Selena. Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Selena,
could you just unplug your power?
Yep, just did. Is that better?
We got an email from you this morning saying you'd lost your voice.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Micah got it too. It was from you.
No!
October the 22nd, I think. I think it resent an old email.
Really? That's so random. I haven't, really.
I like your party hat.
Thank you. I'm looking for more stuff.
And are you
so fun.
Really?
Now I'm the king, the queen of
I'm glad you have a
I'm sorry, I'm distracting
now.
You guys.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
We were discussing
and so, Selena. No, I was just going to say.
Live stuff is fun.
Good.
Go ahead, Micah. No, please. Are we all on a delay now or something? What happened?
I must be lagging a bit here. No. Yeah, I think so.
I think everything sounds. It's Selena playing with all her toys.
Yeah, stop having fun. Okay,
I'm sure
so
fine.
Well, let's try to get back on track here. So Pottermore. We also, like I said, we got some information on Professor Kettleburn. J.K. Rowling said Kettleburn was a lovable, if eccentric man, and his continuing employment at the school was evidence of the great affection in which staff and students held him. He finished his career with only one arm and half a leg. Dumbledore presented him with a full set of enchanted wooden limbs on his retirement, a gift that had to be replaced regularly because Kettleburn's habit of visiting dragon sanctuaries in his spare time meant that his prosthetics were frequently set on fire. I thought that was pretty funny and kind of classic Rowling writing.
I agree. Why did Dumbledore give him the wooden limbs at the end of his career? That is, as a retirement gift. Wouldn't you think that he'd give them to him like as soon as he lost his limbs so that he could continue teaching in his former capacity?
Yeah, maybe perhaps as... Well, I think it was just... I think Kettleburn was just ready to
lost
leave
your
anyway.
Leg? Here's your leg. Yeah.
I think Kettleburn was just ready to leave anyway, maybe, and he decided that that was his parting gift, Dumbledore's parting gift to Kettleburn.
Yes. Yes. Well, I remember in the book there's a line that's Mr. Kettleburn, Professor Kettleburn would like to spend time with his remaining limbs. So I always found that to be quite funny.
but in all seriousness, J.K. Rowling did talk about Aunt Marge's love for bulldogs. Marge is a large and unpleasant woman whose main interest in life is breeding bulldogs. She believes in corporal punishment and plain speaking, which is what she calls being offensive. Marge is secretly in love with a neighbor called Colonel Fubster. Yeah, I know. Who looks after her dogs when she is away. He will never marry her, And this is the part where I was like, oh, okay, here comes the lesbian revelation. He will never marry her due to her truly horrible personality. This unrequited passion fuels a lot of her nasty behavior to other people.
What does that have to do with a lesbian revelation?
No, it doesn't. But just before you came in, I was saying that J.K. Rowling needs to drop major bombs in Pottermore. Because remember, when she outed Dumbledore, I mean, we were in New York City, and I went in a taxi cab, and on the radio, they're talking about Dumbledore being gay. Like, she needs another big revelation like that.
Much so.
Yeah, that's true. This isn't that interesting. I mean, it's great to know, but, you know, who cares about Kettleburn? Maybe that's just...
Yeah.
I care about Kettleburn.
Okay, I'm sorry, Eric.
He's the sleeper hit. He's going to be like... At the end of this, when book three is done, we're going to say, you know what? Kettleburn was probably the most insightful character ever, and we didn't even know it. He didn't even have any lines.
I don't think so.
There's going to be a
How about Sir Cadogan, though? He was a pimp. I mean, he had three wives, 17 children.
Wow.
I love it. He's like a king of England.
See, I didn't care for him in the book, but now this makes him more interesting to me.
Because why? Because he had three wives?
And 17 kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And none of them are in the painting, so I wonder what he did to estrange himself from all the rest of them, that he should be alone on his pony. Did he love that pony more than he ever loved his wife and kids?
He's not Aberforth, first of all. Secondly, it said the pony doesn't like him very much.
Right. Unrequited love probably fools his personality, or feeds his personality.
You know, there's still the kind of the issue with Pottermore. There's not much to do after you go through the stuff once. That's going to be my new fair approach to this, is saying that there's not much to do when you go to do it more than once. You can go in and you can do duels, and there's the other games, but you can't... There's just... what else, you know? What else is there to happen?
Maybe the trick is waiting like I have, because I'm looking forward to, during this Christmas break season, I'm looking forward to completing, starting Chamber of Secrets and then going to where we currently are in Prisoner of Azkaban, because I haven't done it yet. So I'm actually looking forward to kind of spending maybe about... How long do you think it'll take? Like maybe 12 hours or so, tops?
No.
Less?
12 minutes.
12 minutes?
Yeah, like
I'm looking forward
hours.
At some point during Christmas break, I have to spend 12 minutes and get through Pottermore. So I'm looking forward
to
that.
See if you can find the time.
It's my Christmas present to myself.
Well, that's very, very nice.
I've actually done that over the course of the last couple of days, you know, just exploring the end of Chamber of Secrets and then the next set of chapters of Prisoner of Azkaban. And there's, as you said, Andrew, I mean, once you go through it the first time, I really don't know why you'd go back. There's no incentive for you to return. So
some people do
they have to work on that.
Yeah, some people do like the dueling. Some people like the potion brewing. For me personally, it's not my type of thing. I'd rather cook in real life.
It's so dull. Yeah, I know. You get something out of it, right?
Yeah. Calories.
Most people are in it for the new information, like you said at the beginning of the discussion.
Right. Okay, so what else is going on in the news, Micah? Enough about Pottermore until next time. Before we continue with today's show, we'd like to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of MuggleCast, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out. They're a very helpful service. I have two recommendations for you this week. They're both very popular right now and both must-reads. First, The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's Tolkien's Lord of the Rings prequel, of course, absolutely loved by fans of Middle-earth. And my other recommendation is Life of Pi by Jan Martel. Now, the reason I bring up both of these books is because they have both had film versions released in the past month or so, but quite frankly, the books are better. The films are getting great reviews, but if you check out comparisons between the books and the films, you will see that the original versions by J.R.R. Tolkien and Jan Martel, respectively, are much more beloved. So whether you've seen The Hobbit or Life of Pi in theaters or not, get the book so you can experience the better version of the story, and why not try it as an audiobook and consume the story just like you do an episode of MuggleCast. Visit audiblepodcast.com/MuggleCast to get an audiobook, perhaps Life of Pi or The Hobbit, for absolutely free. And we thank Audible for their support of the show.
Let's talk about drinking.
Ooh, yay. My favorite subject, especially during the holidays.
It's true. But apparently the Wizarding World has sold their 5 millionth butterbeer, so they decided to give away free drinks in the park.
Hey!
Yeah, that's it's pretty impressive. 5 million butterbeers in only, what? Park opened in July 2010, so 2.5 years.
Yeah.
That's
5 million
good.
is a lot. I'm sorry, that's
how
a
many
lot.
People have been through the park, though? That must be more.
I don't
more.
Know if they've said.
They've had, didn't they have like a number guest, like a 1 billionth guest got a free cuppa as well?
Hmm.
Like not necessarily.
Billionth? Did you say billionth?
Yeah.
I don't think they're a billion people.
But they, well, if they've sold 5 million butterbeers,
I figure everybody who's been to the park, unless they really hate sugar or sweets, would get a butterbeer. You have to. It's like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. So I would assume, and then I wonder, because like I've probably a total, we should go around the table and find out everybody's answer, but I think I've probably had 20 butterbeers at this point. So what does this mean for, you know, is it 5 million unique people? I guess not. No, it has to be 5 million actual butterbeers.
Yeah, there's 5 million people in Denmark, just to put it in perspective.
Dang.
All of Denmark has
flocked. We could all have had a butterbeer.
Selena, I know you haven't been, but Eric and Micah, how many butterbeers do you think you've had?
Me, easily 10 or 15.
Maybe.
Which is reasonable. I mean, I've been there three or four separate times, so if I have them two or three times each time I go, maybe
right.
10 times.
Yeah.
But I will
five.
Say I probably
have you only had five, Micah?
Five.
I think so. I mean, I've only been there twice. And
oh.
You had the fire whiskey?
Yeah. I went to the Hogshead, had the Hogshead brew.
Yeah, that's okay. I like Strongbow. We've talked about this on the show before. They offer Strongbow in the park on tap, which I think is really great. So I've had that a lot there. That is alcoholic. One day
would
I'm actually going
to... consider. I was going to say, would they ever consider making the butterbeer alcoholic?
I don't think so, because they like that same taste for everybody. I think that was their original concern, is that we want this to taste the same for everybody, whether or not it's the alcoholic version or not. So, I think they, no, I don't think you'll see that. But you can bring your own flask into the park. Like, this gift was
like
given
some
to me.
People.
Well, oh, it's so cool.
I was given this for Christmas, a hypeable flask. So my next Wizarding World trip, I will be bringing this and pouring some Fireball whiskey, I think, into the butterbeer. That would be a good
you
mix.
You should just hold it up the whole podcast, you know, branding.
Oh, this is interesting. Here's a perspective thing. So I found an old article about the Universal Orlando's first million butterbeers. And so it sold its first million on January 6th. And again, 1,000 lucky guests got free butterbeer when they did that. That was 1 million butterbeer beginning of last year. So they've essentially sold 4 million butterbeers in 2 years. So 2 million a year, and you can divide that by 12 to get how many butterbeers they sell a month.
Let's do the math.
Wow.
That and is 166,000 butterbeers a month.
And then multiply like 5 million by how much those things cost, like $6, $7?
Oh, God. How much money they're making.
It's a lot of money.
Somebody did the estimate. The guys over at Inside the Magic. How much does it cost? Does anybody in the chat know, maybe?
Butterbeer?
By the way, if you are watching live on YouTube, you can add comments. It's basically a chat room. Super Nicky 96.
Oh, there are people watching us?
Yeah.
I thought we were
you
just...
didn't tell us this. I would have put on clothes. No, I did.
Super Nicky 96 thinks the butterbeer at the studio tour was horrible. Is it the same as the Orlando one? I think it's the same thing. But, you know, I hear English people, they don't like sweet stuff as much as Americans do. So maybe you're just not accustomed to that sweeter taste.
We were born with it, raised on it.
Right. I know David Heyman does not like the sweets. I remember he mentioned that. He says he doesn't like the butterbeer because he doesn't like how sweet it is. So maybe that's your problem. Nobody knows the price of the butterbeer, but that's okay.
That's okay. I was pretty sure... isn't it like 3 something for the regular and then 5 for the frozen? I could be wrong.
Is it as cheap as let me just Google it. Price of butterbeer in Wizarding World.
Google will know.
I better know. Well, I'm not going to slow the show down with this, but somebody must know. I don't see it on here, actually. Okay, anyway, let's move on. I'll get this next story, Micah. The Hunger Games, well, hold on. Facebook, you know, now that it's end of the year, everybody's doing these end-of-year lists to reflect on the year that was. And I thought this was interesting. Facebook did a list of most read books, most watched movies, most this, most that. And the most read books of 2012, The Hunger Games was number one, of course. Actually, it took up the top 3 spots. Then number 4 was 50 Shades of Grey. Then number 5 was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, and, yay!
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it is. But I wonder how Facebook calculated this. I'm guessing it's the number of people who added Harry Potter to their Facebook profile under books. That's my best guess, because I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they have apps, too, that are like, they want you to, oh, get the book app, and then nobody can see it on your feed, but you see it and you update it. Like, the Frapper map was the same thing. Like, places I've visited in the world, I, like, spent all this time putting it all in there, and then after the Facebook changed, I couldn't find it anymore. But the app is still installed, probably collecting my data and figuring out who I talk to. So maybe they know through one of those features, like, the books that they've read, or maybe they're hunting our statuses.
Yeah, spying on us through our webcams.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not surprising, though, given that the movie came out this year, right? That would be one of the most read books of the year.
The Hunger Games?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Movie? Oh.
Well, yeah, I mean, Hunger Games is, like, that's been blowing up, especially because of the movie. 50 Shades of Grey, we've talked about on the show before. I was just surprised that Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone would show up there.
Yeah, the first book. To think that people would even start with the first book, but, you know.
Well, I would hope people would start with the first book.
Well, you know, I feel the film is so close to it that you don't necessarily need to. But, I don't know.
Unless you just want to read. But, by the way, I've looked at a lot of these end of the year lists and this one is the only one that Harry Potter is on, so...
Oh, well, thanks for that.
Yeah, not
glad you found it in order to mention... Well, it could signal a trend. Maybe Harry Potter is actually being introduced to a new generation of people.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why not. I mean, Pottermore certainly helps in that case with the e-books. I mean, the e-books were introduced this year, right? Did they come out yeah, they came out this year.
Yeah, they came out this year.
In March. Or April. Okay, do you want to get the next story, Micah, or shall I?
Hey, guys, check
I'll
it out.
I'll just read the headline.
Check it out, guys. I'm Daniel Radcliffe.
Ah, yes, you were referring to his new film, Horns. Well done.
Wow, what a nice transition.
I'm keeping this.
Well, let's talk about... Well, I don't even think that's a story, is it?
What? No, that's not a story.
Horns?
Yeah, I'm looking through the document here, but I'll read the headline and then you guys can talk about it. Rupert Grint's rep confirms he's back as Ron for Harry Potter theme park filming.
Yes.
Yay!
So there's been a lot of craziness in the entertainment world because there was an article from The Sun that said that Helena Bonham Carter and other cast members are back at Leavesden Studios filming a, quote, new or ninth Harry Potter movie, depending on what sleazy entertainment website you read. You read either new Harry Potter movie or ninth Harry Potter movie. Of course, it's a good headline, but the truth is, at least, I mean, there's no confirmation, and, you know, nobody's certainly denying a new Harry Potter movie, but the logical explanation for this filming is that they're filming for the Wizarding World expansion in Orlando, which is supposed to be Diagon Alley, and the Gringotts Thrill Ride. And so there was, I think it was Snitch Seeker, who reached out to Rupert Grint's reps, and they said, yes, he is filming at Leavesden for Harry Potter related, but they wouldn't say what it was. I mean, I'm surprised they even confirmed it. Universal is probably a little
pissed. It's probably the next film, right? I mean,
right, Harry Potter 9.
Of course.
And now, you know, you start putting the pieces together while Rupert's filming and Helena Bonham Carter is filming. So this seems to lend to the theory that they are actually doing Gringotts Thrill Ride. And like with Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey in Orlando, this will probably be something where you'll see scenes throughout the ride. If you go on Forbidden Journey, right now you see the trio, and at the end you see a huge group of people. So who knows how many cast members are actually involved with this. But what do you guys think of this?
I thought it was so funny that people were actually saying ninth Harry Potter film. Like, of course it's not a ninth Harry Potter film. They're filming in secret. If they ever did something like that, it would just blow up everywhere, you know?
Well, and when they said the ninth Harry Potter film, the first thought going through my head is, why is Helena Bonham Carter going to be in it? You know, if it's a continuation, obviously she's dead. But B, in general, if you're going to make any new Harry Potter film at all, Helena Bonham Carter is not the actress you think would show up for it to record. Like,
it's like missing moments between Ron and Bellatrix. I mean, duh.
That's the thing. So Rupert Grint was on, and I'm like, no, well, then once we thought about, oh, the Gringotts scene, that makes sense, because they have to impersonate Bellatrix to get into the vault, and Ron has a big moment in front of the dragon. So, yeah, very clearly, like, it makes total sense based on the casting call, or whoever's, you know, been showing up, that it would be a Gringotts scene. Because I didn't think Bellatrix shared a whole lot of screen time with anybody else.
But it was...
Is it just me, or... I mean, I don't really see that as being newsworthy. I mean, I get why it's news, but they're filming something that not everybody is going to end up seeing.
Wasn't it The Guardian or somebody? Because I think I read it first on The Guardian, and I was like, I remember The Guardian being like a tabloid over there, just like reaching for news at times.
Yeah.
No, well, The Guardian, no.
No?
Right, they could be hit or miss, right? I mean, they can come up with...
No, they're pretty big news. They're one of the main newspapers in the UK. Okay. So I'd say they're pretty reliable.
I was mistaken. But, you know, again, it just got blown up out of proportion. Ninth Harry Potter film. Somebody saw that gem of a news story. It was just like, we can run with this. And advertising dollars were made, and people were confused.
I just feel like it's stretching for news.
Well, no, I disagree, because they're filming at Leavesden Studios, which is really cool. And they haven't been back there since filming Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. So, I don't know. No, it doesn't excite you, Mike. It excites me.
Nope.
What's wrong with you? Where's your holiday spirit?
It's got nothing to do with holiday spirit.
Yes, it does. You're like, wow, this is the news. This is the biggest story we have right now.
Aside from Marge being a lesbian.
Yeah. Except for that. When is that happening? I think it's cool. Yeah. No, let's dwell on it more. It's huge
news. Come on. We want to talk about
it. Now, there's nothing else to say, but I think it is exciting. I genuinely believe I think it's exciting.
I think it's exciting, and I don't even get to see it, probably, because I don't get to go over there. But it's still fun. It's fun that the actors are still semi-involved with some Harry Potter-related stuff, you know? In terms of the fandom, I think that's kind of nice, that Rupert Grint still gets to be Ron for a little while longer.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. And, you know, remember the big... when it was big news when, oh, they reshot the Harry Potter epilogue. They're going back.
Yeah. Going back to Hogwarts.
By the way... We know this for sure is for the theme park, because when I emailed Warner Brothers for a comment, they passed me on to Universal. So that kind of gave it away.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. But whatever. So,
what are people in the chat saying about this?
They're agreeing with you. They're saying, Tyler says, Micah is being a Grinch.
Aww.
I just read, Micah's big hat is distracting. That's what I read.
I like it.
Oh yeah, but Butterbeer is $3. I can't believe that. I thought it was more. That Monkey Bear wrote that. Thank you, Monkey Bear.
Well, I heard also the souvenir cup runs $10.
Right.
Yeah, according to Monkey Bear.
So. But if you just buy one of those, then I think the refills are $3. So. Huh. Star Kid Turner said Eric is so pretty. One thing I've learned from you so far.
Kaylin Smith says, "Oh my God, horns."
She gets your joke.
Wrong holiday. I'm the Grinch, but yet Eric's wearing horns for Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I actually looked into horns, like the plot. You know, I kind of read a summary, and it seems quite terrifying, and it's going to be the film that really scares us, I think, about Daniel Radcliffe. Like, even in The Woman in Black, I could still see him as kind of, you know, good into acting and innocent, but horns is dark, some dark S-H-U-T. So.
But he already did Equus, so I think we're all pretty familiar with his
darkness. How many people have seen Equus? And there was never an HBO Presents a live performance of Equus, right? So unless you saw it live, Equus slipped, I think, under your radar.
Are you transitioning into the next story?
No. Is there a next story?
Well, there was some weird social networking news. Go ahead, Micah. Read the headline again.
One sec. Dan Radcliffe officially joins Google Plus to stop imposters on Twitter and Facebook.
I think Mike is under the influence of something.
Wasn't this J.K. Rowling's reason? Wasn't this J.K. Rowling's reason for getting on Twitter? Was because people were pretending to be her and she had...
Right.
Yeah.
This is so weird to me. Dan Radcliffe joins Google Plus, like the lamest social network out there right now. By the way, this Google Hangout brought to you by Google Plus, but that's besides the point.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah, I love Google Plus for the Google Hangout feature. But he said, this has mainly come about because of the amount of people that I meet who tell me that they have contacted me on, quote, Twitter or Facebook when I know that's impossible because I don't belong to either one of those sites. Now that I have this Google Plus page, there will be an outlet for accurate information, and hopefully people will not waste their time giving credence to people pretending to be me. Here's what bothers me. He's joining Google Plus to thwart the imposters on Twitter and Facebook. How is that going to work? You can still make a fake Dan Radcliffe Twitter or fake Dan Radcliffe Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
I don't get it.
Sorry.
And I wrote that.
I agree with you, though.
I just think it's silly.
Well,
yeah, it's like he doesn't understand like how it works, or his publicist or whoever's doing this.
Yeah. And I remember one time Dan Radcliffe said, I don't do Twitter because I couldn't keep up with it. It's like, well, Dan, you don't have to look at your at replies. I mean, sorry, you're not going to be bigger than Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga seems to handle it just fine.
But then again, I mean, there are some stars who just, they don't want to get into it, so maybe it's like a protest. It's like, screw your Twitter and your Facebook, I have Google Plus, which nobody uses. I don't know. Maybe he's sponsored by them? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe Google could have paid him to do a Google Plus account.
Who knows?
That's always possible.
But what's, even if he was to go and get Facebook or Twitter, what's the value if you don't use it? I mean, look at J.K. Rowling. She doesn't really actively use Twitter.
The value is that when you Google Dan Radcliffe Twitter, you'll find a real Twitter account, whereas now if you Google that, you'll probably just find fake accounts.
Right. The value is that we know J.K. Rowling is that boring instead of being the J.K. Rowling who tweets every day and we're like following
her. She recently join Facebook too?
Yeah, she's an official Facebook, but again, it's not run by her, I think. But the advantage of Dan Radcliffe having a Google Plus account is that it is nice where there's a source for reputable information. I mean, that's true. That's valid. So that's the good part about it. But everything else just totally doesn't make sense about it. He has some nice stuff on here. He's got some pictures from various projects, and it's been updated plenty so far.
Speaking of impersonating celebrities, TDA Sports Yaremi says, "Hi, I am Selena Gomez."
Enough with the Selena Gomez.
Yes, we have Selena Gomez in the chat.
Yeah, bane of my existence.
And what else is going on in the news, Micah?
We did have an ask out for Dan to join us in the Hangout, but that didn't happen.
He wouldn't join us. Sorry, mate. Got something else going on.
All right. Final bit of news here. Harry Potter Page to Screen, The Complete Filmmaking Journey video was released, and it explains the $1,000 price tag associated with it.
In your opinion, does it explain it, or does it explain it away?
It's ridiculous.
$1,000.
It's completely, like, these prices are getting ludicrous.
Oh, yeah, we all remember the Harry Potter, what is it called, Wizards Collection? That was, what, $500, something like that? And to top that, here's something that retails for $1,000. Now, this does look pretty cool. We all remember Harry Potter Page to Screen, the filmmaking book. I think, Micah, you have it, right?
Yeah.
That was good.
Me too. I have it.
Okay. It's good, right?
Grab it right now. It's right behind me on the bookshelf somewhere.
It's good, right? Good book?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. So then in this set, they added 6 volumes, including books on graphic design, creatures, costumes, special effects. And this I thought was cool, a book of the paintings of Hogwarts, like all the paintings within Hogwarts. So it's neat stuff.
Did you? I don't know if you guys have seen those at any of the exhibitions, your exhibitions, but at the Leavesden Studios, when you go on the tour, there's an entire section full of paintings. Like there's a whole wall that's just it's massive, and there's all these different paintings. And I specifically remember because there's a painting with the name Selena on it, and I'm like, my name is in the story, kind of. But it's really cool. So you get to see them all really up close. So it's cool you get to see that in there too.
Yeah, the problem is just that it's $1,000. I mean, this isn't for anybody.
Yeah, you might as well just go to the studios, no matter where you are in the world.
They should have gone the free information route and put it on Wiki or something.
Or Pottermore.
Or Pottermore. I mean, you know.
But Mike, hold it up again. I turned on, switched to your camera. There we go.
What's camera, man? Nice. Oh.
It's so I can show it.
This is how much it weighs. I don't know if that was...
Micah was just crushing small animals.
$1,000 for this baby. And 3,000 copies worldwide. So Warner Brothers is kind of taking the limited edition approach, high price, limited. They figure they can sell 3,000 of these. And if they can, great. But I won't be buying. Did MuggleNet try to get a review copy? That's what I would have done. Free $1,000 product. No comment. Nobody knows.
It's on its way to me.
It's on its way. Under lock and key, so nobody can steal it from the UPS man.
Yeah.
Make a quick grand off of it.
Oh my gosh.
I can only imagine what that poor person carrying some of this stuff feels like afterwards.
I wonder how many copies they're gonna sell.
By the way, Liv Sirius said $299 for a wizard collection at Costco right now. That's the complete box set. Costco is only in America, though, I think. So.
Okay, I still own most of what I'm getting in that collection, though.
And we actually did get a comment from Dan Radcliffe about joining today, and he said, sorry, pen and paper are my priority at the moment.
That's nice of him to let us know.
You know what's really cool? Putting that line in the chat. Really cool is I posted that we were doing a show right now on MuggleNet, and then somebody else posted the fact that that Aloha Moore is doing a live show on Friday, December the 28th. So really appreciate that.
I thought you meant right now.
No, that would have probably been even worse. But
I don't get it. Where was that posted? What are you saying? In the MuggleNet chat?
No, on the MuggleNet site.
Oh, awesome.
So we just got what do you even call that? Like
trolled.
Post-bombed.
Yeah, no. I was supposed to announce that on this show, actually. I was asked by the Aloha Mora team to announce their live show, which for details you can go on the MuggleNet site and look under the post announcing this post.
No, you can't. Forget that now.
You removed it?
No, I didn't.
Man, Mike is loose.
Much of a cringe.
I know.
Micah is loose.
It's like uncut.
Speaking of plugs, I've been meaning to talk about this on MuggleCast. I have a revelation to tell everybody. This is my big announcement. I have been living a secret double life as a weekly podcaster.
What?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it?
I know.
The MuggleCast, the good old days with MuggleCast. I'm doing a show with my friend Mason now. It used to be with Ben. Now it's with Mason, called Hype. And if you missed some
good
weekly
show.
Thank you, Micah. We had Micah on recently, and it was fun having him on. Hypepodcast.com, and we do it weekly. Now, here's the scary part. We are charging for it. It's $3.99 a month, but the reason we're doing that is so we can make sure we get it out weekly. And you know, the reason we don't do MuggleCast as often anymore is because, you know, we all have other things going on. But so by charging for it, we can
make
it a priority.
It's about time we made money off a podcast.
I'm still waiting for iTunes to let us charge for podcasts. That'll be the day. Weekly MuggleCast, as soon as we can start charging 99 cents per episode. That would be great. So visit hypepodcast.com. There's free samples of the show on there if you want to give it a try before you subscribe, and you can cancel anytime. And we have a lot of fun on there talking about general entertainment and also just our lives in general. It's a good time. Thank you. That is the audience reacting to every episode because they are applaud.
So are we just plugging other podcasts here? Is that what we're doing?
Well, I mean, hey, we always do it, but we never plug hype, so.
That's true.
Whatever. Back off. What do you want to plug?
Considering we have three people on here, yeah.
Go for it. Go for it. You guys plug it every episode. Go ahead. Talk about Game of Thrones.
We haven't done an episode in like 2 months.
Okay. So what do you want to plug?
Who's doing the plug?
Goo!
I'm doing it. Goo.
Welcome to our next episode of Game of Owns. Eric, Mike, and Selena are here. We are here, and we're kicking ass, and wearing pirate hats, and it's awesome.
You can't say that on MuggleCast, can you?
Oh, I can't say, but I can on Game of Owns.
That's what this is now.
No, okay, so we're just going to plug Game of Owns. I'm not doing it. I just intro'd it.
You just
okay,
did
well,
it.
Good job, guys. Tab881 in the comments says that she loves hype. She says this is fun, so thank you for that. Oh, and yes, somebody referenced Who Hype.
Who Hype! I was just an episode of that.
There will be a special episode of Who Hype coming up because of the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Ooh, with Ellie Darcy Alden.
Now, look, the reason we're sitting here shamelessly plugging our podcast is because Harry Potter, it's sort of dwindling a little bit, and we're interested in getting into other podcasts. So, you know, if you like listening to MuggleCast, I can assure you, you're going to like talking about these other ones that we talk about. Anyway. We also wanted to reflect on the year that was with MuggleCast. We had out a good amount of episodes. I'm going to look through that replies here. We asked on Twitter, people who follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/MuggleCast, what was your favorite MuggleCast moment of the year? Let's see here. Chillin43 said episode in episode 250, Laura getting news by Toucan. You know, I'm happy to report Laura, as of 2 days ago, is now back in the United States of America.
Permanently?
Yes. Bring out the applause sound effects for that. She's back in the U.S. Isn't that nice? So maybe we'll force her onto a MuggleCast or two in the future. My dog says, no. Annie Sharman says, episode 250, Micah calls J.K. Rowling's new book the New Testament. And Ben says, you've been talking about it for half an hour, despite little info. Oh, that sounds like Ben complaining about us talking too much on Harry Potter podcast.
I called it the New Testament?
I think so.
Well, according to that, episode 250 was apparently a hit. That's the second person who said, hey, 250, favorite episode.
We got a lot of comments about the Live at LeakyCon. Angie Brewer said, watching Live at LeakyCon and giving Micah a birthday card.
That was nice.
That was nice.
You still have it? Where is it?
I do. Hold on. I might have it here.
Oh, the effects didn't move. This is weird.
Muggonet. Yeah, there's like a specter, Micah.
Like a faceless man.
Muggonet's Keith also said the live birthday wish to Micah at LeakyCon.
Yeah,
Terrence, our friend Terrence from Hogwarts Radio, said Live LeakyCon, where Sim says, this chair is for every MuggleCaster who has died.
Thankfully is none of us, just so people know.
Yeah. So that's that.
What was your favorite moment?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to look back through the...
all the episodes we did this year.
I know. Well, you know what?
Five of them?
I had a chance to skip through, then that would be helpful and remind myself. But anybody in the chat who has other moments, feel free to shout them out. We'll read them on the show. It's hard to remember sometimes things that happen. But I think we had another good year.
Before Casual Vacancy came out, and we were all super excited for it.
Oh,
and then
it came
out and we weren't really, but this before, it was fun.
Well, I was looking forward to big midnight release parties.
Yeah.
I know, I remember talking about that a lot, and that didn't happen, so yeah.
Okay, but the excitement, you know, they can never take that away from us.
Never. You will never take our excitement. Okay, now it's time for the top 7 moments, Harry Potter moments of 2012.
Oh,
led by Eric.
Yes, somebody in the YouTube comments just said, it is not dwindling. Unforgivable Imperius, that was. It just proves, okay, so we were able to find the top seven moments of 2012. There were moments in Harry Potter history that happened this year, and these are the top seven. And I must admit, I had help with this. The MuggleNet News interns, Veronica, Claire, Jessica, and Laura helped with, you know, kind of picking out stories, and I arranged them into just a general top seven. I wouldn't say that we can, maybe we can arrange them afterwards as to, like, what's the biggest, but essentially here are the top seven biggest stories, and this includes, some of these stories have, like, multiple dates. But the first one does not. The first one is the beginning of January, January 6th. Rotten Tomatoes awarded a Golden Tomato to Deathly Hallows Part 2, calling it the best reviewed film of the year. The reason this is a top moment for me is because it signaled the last time that Deathly Hallows Part 2 would receive any honor at all.
Aww.
You know, but also it's a big deal, the fact that a Harry Potter film gets best reviewed. I mean, especially if you are a book purist, or if you're not a book purist, you had different feelings, like the Harry Voldemort face merge, that I think would have caused you to review the film negatively. And yet, it scored best reviewed, and it got a Golden Tomato from Rotten Tomatoes. So I think it's furthermore, I see Rotten Tomatoes. Thank you. Furthermore, Rotten Tomatoes is being used literally everywhere now to determine how good a movie is. I'm seeing it on applications. You can attest to this, Andrew. Like, it just seems like everybody gives a damn about the tomato rating.
Because there's so many reviews online these days. It's like, well, how do I decide what is the general consensus here? And there's two sites for that, Rotten Tomatoes and then Metacritic. But Rotten Tomatoes is much more popular, I think. And yeah, so it is a good honor. That's a good choice for.
It's more fun, right? With the squishy tomatoes, and you get to throw tomatoes at each other. So
sure, I've never done that part, but yeah,
people like playing with food. But no, our second top moment, then, is later that month and the subsequent month, so January and February, the Academy Awards nominations come out. Now, remember, the beginning of the year, there was this big Deathly Hallows push. Warner Brothers released, like, four-year consideration videos, and the stars and the producers and the directors were all talking about how important it would be for Harry Potter to achieve an Oscar. And that, you know, they were willing to submit for your consideration. Well, in the end, on January 24th, it was revealed that Potter secured only three nominations, which is far less than they were hoping for. I believe they were all technical nominations. And at the following month, February 26th, Harry Potter failed to receive an Oscar. And this is, so, to date, the Harry Potter...
So lame.
Maybe this is why they're doing a ninth film, guys.
Another chance.
But really, so, the Harry Potter series as of February 24th, this isn't necessarily a happy top moment of the year, but I'd say it's pretty definitive that Harry Potter will not receive an Oscar. What do you guys think?
It's definitely worth noting, because that was, I still think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we all remember WB's huge marketing campaign. I still remember the billboards. I was thinking about that recently, because now their big push is The Dark Knight, and they're doing the same thing as they did last year, because both films came out in July. Now they're pushing the Deathly Hallows DVD, or the Dark Knight Rises DVD, but also doing the Oscar campaigning in the same exact billboard ad, at least in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a shame, because they released that nice book that can, for your consideration, Harry Potter book, and I can't believe that was the beginning of this year. It feels like so much longer ago.
It's just ridiculous, because I mean, not only could you make the argument that the last film should receive some kind of summarizing honor for all of the films, like Lord of the Rings did, and even if you didn't believe that, I think that the last film was one of the best ones the series has done. So I think it's silly that it, you know, didn't at least get nominated for Best Picture. Did it? It didn't, did it?
No.
Okay.
Crystal Flower 999 said the ninth film's working title is Harry Potter and the Golden Oscar. That's a good idea.
Do you think Hollywood would take the hint? Do you think?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're only doing this because we need an Oscar.
I know we touched on this some, but I was really surprised that they didn't recognize the series in any way. I think Selena touched on it a little bit. For everything that it had done. I mean, you're talking about, and I know Bond may have passed since with the new movie that came out, but at the time, you know, the highest grossing franchise ever.
Yeah, in
so
eight
how
films.
How do you not recognize in eight
Bond
films?
And Bond has done 23 films.
Yeah.
It was tremendous, absolutely tremendous. Like what Harry Potter has done for the economy.
If nothing else,
the fiscal cliff would have been 6 months ago if not for Harry Potter. But no, I'm just saying, like, in general, you're right. You know, lesser. I want to say lesser awards shows. I don't want to get offended or offend people. But other award shows managed to take some time and award Harry Potter. I mean, when I was going through this, you know, our upcoming Marvel Year in Review, looking for these stories, you know, I saw all these little different awards that were, you know, Rupert Grint accepted. Even Chris Columbus picked up an award from like the American Film Institute on behalf of the Harry Potter cast. That'll happen this year. There's still these little awards, little tributes that happened, but I think what the biggest thing about this story was is that the Oscars, the Academy itself, did not care, and they did not do such a thing. They ignored this, you know, great British achievement. You know,
yeah,
they're produced by Warner Brothers, which is an American film, so that's the other thing. Even though there are so many British people, you know, and Lord knows the Harry Potter films have won a lot of BAFTAs, I don't think I'm mistaken in saying that. But it would have been nice for the Academy, who we still hold as the Hollywood authority, to have given some kind of award or, as you say, even a tribute to Potter.
Yep.
Breaks my heart.
And then, on to our news story. This could actually be argued as the top news story of the year. This Ooh. Is the for those of you who are keeping track, this is number 3 of our top 7 moments of the year, and it's multiple moments condensed into one: The Casual Vacancy by J.K. Rowling.
Well, it's important because it was J.K. Rowling's first book post Harry Potter.
Agreed. And they even attempted to market it in a very exciting way, I think, based on like the tapered release of the title and the book and the date, and also how little we knew about it for the longest time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of mystery about it, and in the end, there probably shouldn't have been, because it wasn't a mystery book, you know? Like, not because it was, no.
Well,
but
you
just
know,
because it sent the wrong idea, gave the wrong idea.
They played down expectations from the beginning. They were saying, it doesn't matter, we're not going to compare sales numbers to Harry Potter, because it was Little Brown. This is the first time J.K. Rowling has worked with Little Brown as well. She previously worked in the U.S. with Scholastic for all the Harry Potter books, mm-hmm. and Bloomsbury in the U.K. But for Casual Vacancy, it was Little Brown worldwide. And they said, you know, we're not expecting J.K. Rowling. She has no pressure to do particular sales numbers. But I'm sure they were expecting it to be a big success. And I think by their by their standards, this was a great success. Because honestly, you know, it's hard to sell a book these days. And Little Brown, probably their last big success was probably Twilight. So they were looking forward to Casual Vacancy, and they got it.
I had no idea that Little Brown did Twilight.
No, I was just
Yeah, that's part of the reason why J.K. Rowling went with Little Brown. Weren't you aware of that? She said,
"No, I was completely not aware of that."
She said, "I love Twilight, and this is going to be my publisher now."
I feel like you're
screw you, Scholastic. Get out of here. You didn't do good enough for me. J.K. Rowling had no attachment to Twilight.
So running through the dates here again, this is still The Casual Vacancy, but we found the title and the release date, and the website were launched on March 12th, and then it was released, the book itself was released on September 27th. So we had about 6 months to really get into the idea of the new J.K. Rowling book. October 17th then, 20 days after the book was released, J.K. Rowling toured and arrived in New York City. Mike and I got to see her live, which I just thought it was important to include because it was the first time she kind of came to the city since, was it Radio City in 2008 or 2007, was it, Micah?
No, she was in.
It was 2007.
Carnegie Hall. After that.
Oh, Carnegie Hall. Yeah, well, Radio City was first, and then but Carnegie Hall was like 2007. That was where she outed Dumbledore.
Right. Radio City was 2006.
Yeah. So 2006, 2007. So it was the first time in 5 years she toured, and again, you know, The Casual Vacancy. It's her first book post Potter, so there was 5 years where she really didn't do anything public.
I'm and sure she's 2000... been to New York in between at some point.
How do you know? How do you know that, Micah? You don't.
Wait,
know
what about the lawsuit? She was in New York for that.
Oh, the big event.
Right, so, that was quite the vacation.
You know, I wonder if the camels were a big draw for her. You know, like, the
oh, cross-podcast reference.
Yeah,
I love it.
Wow, no, it's just a New York, what's on in New York right now reference.
That's no, all you got to keep it to goats on MuggleCast and then yeah, camels the on yeah. Game of Thrones.
And this Justin, in 2014, she's returning to Radio City to out another character, Aunt Marge, as a lesbian.
Yay!
You're really pushing for that. You should send her an envelope that says "For your consideration," and on the inside it has Aunt Marge, and then like
all these artistic pictures of Aunt Marge.
And, yeah. For your consideration, her and like Rosie O'Donnell.
She could, anyway. Okay, enough of that. That's very
what moment are we
professional.
On?
Okay, well, so it's still the third moment, but at the end of this year, 20 days ago, December 3rd, the BBC announced that they're turning Casual Vacancy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why haven't we talked about this?
About this.
I missed
it's crazy.
This. Okay, yeah. Well, let's talk about that. That was a news item in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So, well, here's what bothered me about that. BBC, of course, okay, Casual Vacancy TV show, that's cool. But during interviews while she was promoting the Casual Vacancy, J.K. Rowling was saying, no, I can't see the Casual Vacancy as a movie. That seems silly. I can't, for multiple reasons, I just can't imagine that.
But I think, though, for a miniseries, it's different because the BBC does all kinds of, I mean, sort of kitchen sink, real, gruesome, not gruesome, what's the wrong word, but, you know, like realistic, kind of gritty stuff like that. I think it would fit in really well as a miniseries, but not as a movie because it doesn't have a crescendo in that way.
Wouldn't it be harder to adapt a book for a TV series, I would think?
I don't think Casual Vacancy, because I think Casual Vacancy isn't so much about a plot being set up and then it needs to get resolved. It's more about setting up this gallery of characters that interact with each other. So in that sense, over the course of several episodes, you could do that, but it's more like the tempo is like it's like this. Like, this is good we have video, you know, you can do this. But yeah, you know, it doesn't... yeah. That's what I was going to say. So I think it works.
Well, I think it's interesting that it's J.K. Rowling's first foray into television. She's conquered movies, and now it's time for her to conquer television.
I wonder if she can do it.
It's fun. I wonder if they're going to get any actors from the Harry Potter series to star in it. Because,
oh, please.
Like, oh, come on. Because every single, not because of Harry Potter, but because almost every single British actor has been in Harry Potter, so it's almost impossible to avoid, you know? And, like, it's just because I see the Dursleys in my head when I read Casual Vacancy, so I want them to be in it, you know? I want Dudley, you know, what's-his-face, Uncle Vernon, to be, you know, that guy that's like Uncle Vernon in Casual Vacancy and stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be so fun.
People were suggesting that I audition for the role of Andrew
in Casual Vacancy.
I think that's a great idea. If only I'm trying to bring up some quotes from Andrew so I could do my audition, but I don't have the book with me right now and I can't seem to Google any. So if anybody has some quotes, let me paste them in the chat and I will audition. That idea was from Crystal Flower, by the way.
Uh-oh, Crystal.
There's
a crystal in the book.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll all be watching, right? I mean, I didn't finish the book, so this will be my way to actually know what happens.
It's tough for me to get the BBC, I think. I don't know. Maybe we get the BBC.
It'll be out on DVD.
Very easy, thanks to BitTorrent. And DVD, of course.
Legally.
Okay, so moving off of the Casual Vacancy, and I think that probably will be our top moment of the year, but, you know, Pottermore... And you know, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning of this episode, but Pottermore actually opened to the public.
That's Micah playing that, not me.
Pottermore opened to the public on March 14th of this year.
I can't believe it was only this year.
This year, and now a couple days ago.
We were waiting for it until like September 2011, weren't we?
A couple of days ago, the third book opened, so it's gone through, guys. The first two books have been completed, and we're on to the third in 9 months' time.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is that it was in beta. in 2011. So, and they had book one done. But
the public opening, like any random person who hadn't been there when they initially did the signups for beta testing, the public has had 9 months, and in those 9 months, they've rewarded us with almost 3 books. I think that's pretty shocking. It seemed to go a lot slower than that, mostly because the rest of us were waiting for so long.
Well, I mean, it was impressive, the rollout that they did this year, and I'm interested to see what kind of pace they continue to move at. I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, no, I know that was going to be a quick one. But, of course, this one might not be. Warner Brothers Studio Tour London, The Making of Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that opened March 31st. March 31st was a grand opening. Who of us has been there?
Just Selena.
I went to the grand opening. I got to interview the different stars and the producers and stuff. It was so much fun.
So you got to see the studio tour.
I did.
Andrew, Micah, you guys didn't?
Nope.
Though I know Selena, you really liked it, right?
I loved it. I mean, I've always been a book fan more than a movie fan, even though I do like the movies, but going there and seeing everything, like, you know, the paintings that I was talking about and seeing all the different suites and stuff, it was fantastic. And it was fantastic as well for me because I got to speak to, like, David Heyman and stuff, so mm-hmm. I probably remember that as part of the experience. But
is it a no-brainer for fans to go in England? If you live in England or you're making a trip there, isn't it a no-brainer to go?
Isn't there a bus that can take you from the airport?
Yeah, there's a bus.
Yeah.
I would say it's a no-brainer if you care about filmmaking. If you care about filmmaking and Harry Potter, then you go. Because it's like a lot of technical information. Like, you see how some of the special effects were made. You see how they wrote on broomsticks. There's a gift shop with stuff that you can buy. And
of course
I did love that. But
is it? Hold on.
There you go.
Wouldn't casual fans enjoy it too, I would think, because you walk in the actual Great Hall and
right,
the actual
but I think
sets.
You walk to them, but you don't walk into them. They are roped off. It's like a museum in a lot of ways. You
well,
know,
like
you
the
don't
Great Hall
to...
you walk into.
Oh, yeah. You do get to walk through the Great Hall, but like the tables are roped off, that sort of thing. It's costumes, it's incomplete effects, it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, it doesn't feel like you're in Hogwarts. It's not like they made a Hogwarts for you to walk through. This is what I want. This was about the movies, and this was about the creation of the movies,
mm-hmm.
rather than about the story of the movies.
Right.
Somebody is asking what's better, the studio tour or the exhibition. I mean, obviously the
studio
tour is
probably
better.
Yeah. Because it's a complete experience.
Speaking of that, I went to the exhibition in New York City a couple weeks ago, and I really liked it. I went on like a Saturday night with my brother and mom, and it was empty. I mean, there was like nobody in there. I don't know if that's normally... I don't know if it's just because we went kind of late at night or what.
It was your private tour.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. but I liked it. It was cool. There wasn't you. It's pretty expensive. It's like 25, I think, per person, or 20. And you get a picture at the beginning, which then you have to pay for at the end if you actually want to keep it. I didn't buy it because again, it was like way too expensive. And they have merchandise at the end, of course. But it was cool to see all the props and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I was debating between that and Madame Tussauds, because Madame Tussauds, I love Madame Tussauds, because you can actually touch all the wax figures. And
wait, you can touch them?
Yeah, you can take pictures with them any position you want. Like, you can make out with them. They say not to touch the heads, but there's nobody around there, so you can if you want to. And it's so much fun. I did the Hollywood one. It was such a blast. I wanted to do it in New York City again. But yeah, I highly recommend Madame Tussauds.
And you chose Harry Potter over that?
Because Harry Potter was $5 cheaper.
So there you go. Harry Potter and frugal people.
The other big thing difference was, and Selena, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but at the studio tour, you get the chance to actually take photos. Whereas at the exhibition, they discourage you from doing that. Why, I don't know.
They don't just discourage you. They are watching, and they tell you no. And at the beginning of the exhibition, they get two people sorted by the talking sorting hat. And, like, I went up because it was me, my mom and brother, and, like, two other people going into the exhibition. And I go up, but I wanted to get my picture taken because it looks like you're getting sorted with the sorting hat, and they don't even allow a picture during then.
That's stupid.
I don't get
it. That's dumb. I mean, that's the thing. That was one of the best things about the studio tour, is that you get your picture in front of, like, the big door to the Chamber of Secrets and, like, the bridge and the Dursley's house and stuff like that. It's just that stuff is fun.
Yeah.
And so the castle, the Hogwarts. Oh, my God.
Oh yeah, the big
scale. Yeah, they
scale
have the giant. Hogwarts. That's the best thing about it, is the giant Hogwarts at the end that is to scale, but you can just imagine yourself like this big, and then you're like life size at Hogwarts.
Right.
It's amazing.
That's cool. That's cool.
So we have two more stories completing the top seven, and these will go quick. I have this as a top story. On June 4th, Sony announced, in a way of continuing their partnership with J.K. Rowling and bringing you all things awesome, the Harry Potter Book of Spells would be released, and this would feature spells from J.K. Rowling and be a new interactive video game experience.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's played this yet in this group. Has anyone?
I have not. But the reason I say it's a top story is because they're continuing to break new ground. And really try and break new media in. And whether or not it succeeds, we have yet to see. But it shows that, in a way, the spark hasn't died, or at least their pockets haven't sewn themselves shut. So here, and with the new content from J.K. Rowling, it really makes sense that it would be attractive to do. So I'm actually interested. I will be playing this. I just need the right equipment and all that.
I'm looking at a review on IGN. It's a reputable video game site. They gave it a 6.0 out of 10. They said it's okay. Book of Spells not interactive enough to make it an enjoyable game and lacks the compelling narrative of a good book. They say it has a fantastic presentation and the technology has great potential, but no real story, shallow, repetitive gameplay, and little replay value.
It sounds like Pottermore. I mean, it's well presented,
well,
but it's kind
Sony.
Of...
They're both
right.
by Sony, so.
But it sounds like the two, like, because they were released, like, similar, you know, time frame to each other. It seems like the two are made from the same idea of having very, very simple walkthrough, you know what I mean? But having very nice-looking art and things.
Replay value is one of those things, I think, that all of the Harry Potter video games have suffered from.
It's important for a system like this, where you're paying upward. I mean, we talked about this before. You need the system, you need the PlayStation controller wand thing, you need the eye, which is the camera, and you need this new Book of Spells device and the game. So it just really adds up.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, hopefully we'll see in the coming year, maybe I can predict a sequel book that better uses the you know, the technology, or at least they put themselves out there. That's my point. People are still putting themselves out there and releasing content, whether or not it's $1,000 series of behind the scenes books or new technology. You know, it's kind of something worth noting for the year. And then finally,
thing I just want to add to that, though, is, you know, I would encourage Warner Brothers and Sony and all these other places to try and come up with some things that are a little bit more affordable for fans. I mean, these are people who have poured in a lot of time and money into the series
already
over the last 10 years. And I think that right now all you're seeing them do is price gouging people.
Well, wouldn't you argue that Pottermore is basically that? It is 100% free, so.
Yeah, but I also think that people would buy a book for $30 or $40 if all that information was contained in the book. So I'm just talking about some of the other sets that we've seen, you know, the Wizards Collection retailing for $600, this other collection that we spoke about earlier in the show, $1,000. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think that people are going to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a Grinch here, like earlier.
Yes,
in the show.
You are.
I'm looking out for the people who like the series and want to be able to get something for a reasonable price.
Why don't you write us something Harry Potter related, Micah, and release it for like $10? Write a fan fiction.
All right.
Release a fan fiction for money. That's gonna go well.
Do like a paragraph, and release it for a quarter. Charge a quarter. Micah's first fan fiction. And we'll bring fireside chats back.
Somebody said in the chat, HP Girl Forever, Book of Spells is a Bob fail.
Ah, yes, the Bob fail.
The Bob fail. That's a end of year recap show history, tradition.
in the Muggle Casties. We're not doing the Muggle Casties this year. I'm sorry to tell everybody.
These equate themselves, and your comments in the chat are our Muggle Casties for this year. And now our final top moment of the year. This is number 7. We've kind of talked about it before. The Wizarding World of Harry Potter continues to see... Oh.
Sorry.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter continues to see awards and ceremonies within its parks, and this includes the new film that they're apparently producing for the expansion, as well as the 5 millionth Butterbeer, which was consumed earlier this month on the 13th of December.
I'm sorry, didn't we get the announcement that there was going to be a new park this year? Like one or two new parks?
That was in December of last year.
Oh, was it?
It was a year ago, yeah. But it's funny, we've heard nothing about those. That was at the beginning of December 2011. Universal had announced Wizarding World Hollywood, and they had announced an expansion coming to Wizarding World Orlando, and they have said absolutely nothing since then. Which, whatever, but I thought for sure within a year we would hear something about one of these. Like even concept art for Universal Hollywood, but no. By the way, I think they are getting underway with Universal Hollywood or Wizarding World Hollywood because the MTV Movie Awards are not at the Gibson Amphitheater this year. This is the first year. And Gibson Amphitheater is one of the venues they're knocking out to make room for Wizarding World Hollywood. So I think that means, and that's in March, the MTV Movie Awards. So construction has to be starting really soon on that and knocking down stuff to make room for Wizarding World. So.
Right. That is exciting. And there were some behind the scenes kind of like of the construction of archways and stuff, weren't there? I saw Hypebeast.
Well, yeah, the Wizarding World Orlando expansion, it's being built in Universal Studios. It's going to be Diagon Alley in London. That's the rumor. It still seems to be, AJ in the chat is asking, still 2014, 2015 for expansion. And I think yes, that seems to be, I don't think that's really changed. Bree in the chat says, Andrew's hat looks real. And that's because it is a real hat.
It is.
Unlike what everybody else is wearing. Mine is so
Mine is
special
totally
effects.
Real.
Look at that. It always hangs on. What was I saying? They're putting the track down for the Gringotts ride, the rumored Gringotts ride at Wizarding World or Orlando expansion. So
very cool.
So that moves into our 2013 discussion to wrap up the show. What do we have to look forward to in the year 2013?
You know, I will say, speaking of 2013, I did want to take this opportunity to plug the 2013 MuggleNet fandom calendar.
Yes.
Which is something that, we haven't had an opportunity yet on this show to talk about it. There are some video commercials out there and some audio clips that we've played on the other MuggleNet podcast. But just real quickly here, I just want to talk about this. The MuggleNet 2013 fandom calendar features all of the events in the books, like the day that Harry and Dumbledore go to recruit Slughorn, all those little intimate details about what dates they occurred on. It's a 2013 calendar, just much like you'd normally find this time of year in stores on shelves. And each month features a different part of the fandom. So we have fan art and fan conventions and HP fan trips and all that stuff for the monthly images. And then the individual dates are all about premieres and birthdays of the actors and actresses as well as the characters. So there's all the information you possibly need is on MuggleNet, or just Google MuggleNet fandom calendar and check out our commercials and everything. But if this is something that interests you, again, I guess it's a little late for Christmas now, but you could still use it. It's not 2013 yet, and the dates and everything are on there. It will surprise you. Our attention to detail will surprise you. That's my promise. MuggleNet.com 2013 fandom calendar.
Check I think out. I should be in the calendar. I deserve that.
Well, you gotta. Where were you when I was filming the commercial?
You filmed the commercial?
Yeah. I filmed and produced it.
Where's this commercial? Where did I watch the commercial?
It's on YouTube. I can't. I tried already to post the link in the comments, but I guess preventing spam, they don't allow it. But yeah, there's two commercials, and actually, you would have fit perfectly into the role of enthusiastic fan. Which I instead cast my good friend Shannon Daly in that role. But yes, the commercial featured two people, and Hedwig was made an appearance. But the two characters were Enthusiastic Fan and Bored Roommate. And I think he would have really fit Enthusiastic Fan, Whoa. So that's a shame.
But had your acting debut.
Yeah.
So what is there to look forward to in 2013? There are three things we have written down here. Look at this. I'm fixing
my hair. Can I steal from those three things?
what do you mean? You want
to
say
like,
one of them?
Can I read them off a list and be like, hey, this is what I'm looking forward to?
Oh, well, I mean, I think they're all things that we agree with. For one, yeah. The theme park announcement. They're, as they continue to build in Orlando, at some point we're going to see real Harry Potter stuff showing up. So they can't keep that quiet for much longer, I don't think. Although I was probably saying that at this time last year as well. They completed the London waterfront, which you can see and walk right on. But
really?
They just haven't announced it yet. It's crazy. And the reason I think they're keeping it secret is because as soon as they announce it, potential people are going to start saying, oh, well, we will just wait until the expansion opens, and then foot traffic.
Right, I'd say that holds some weight.
Yeah. So hopefully this year, because if they're opening at, let's say 2014, the way it seems to be moving, I would guess 2014. If they open in 2014, then... there has to be an announcement in 2013, I would think.
Yeah, late if it's 2013. Like at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, sure. An encyclopedia announcement. What we've asked every year since 2007. Will it be this year?
Yes!
Selena, you think this is the year? Lucky 13.
No, actually, I don't think this is the year. I never think it's going to be the year. But, I mean, come on. Please, Joe. We've had Casual Vacancy. We want it so badly. And yeah, I feel like if she waits too many more years, like I'm sure I'll be excited, but I feel like if she releases too much in Pottermore, you know, it's like, what's left for, maybe that's when she's saving the lesbian reveal.
Yeah.
For the encyclopedia.
There has to be another gay character in Harry Potter books.
It's going
to
have a whole section on lesbian characters. Harry Potter.
Professor McGonagall the turkey.
Oh, yeah.
In the
Hermione.
Chat,
that's going to be the big twist.
In the chat, Thomas says a announcement about Pottermore, the TV series, coming in 2013.
Ooh.
I think that's a great
idea. Oh, yeah. Yes. Some casting.
You'll only be able to view it on the back of plane seats and on your mobile device.
Yeah, that's another rumor. There's going to be mobile. That's something else to look forward to in 2013. Pottermore is supposed to be releasing... In flight something. I don't. They haven't said what. They've just said Pottermore in flight. So you'll be able to dual potion. I don't know.
Again, they're pushing the boundaries. You know, they're.
What's their target audience for that?
Everybody. They want the CEO Charlie Redmayne has said we want to get Pottermore everywhere that we can. That includes.
That's very nice.
Includes Excellent. Mobile devices and seat back entertainment.
Yeah.
And in the bathrooms.
And then another J.K. Rowling book.
He said
book.
That, right?
Yeah, he said that.
I was going to say something, but those words were not appropriate for the show.
Well, then, guys, in 2013, we may see the children's book that J.K. Rowling was talking about.
Yes, possibly.
Which I will...
Read?
I'm going to not get it the day it comes out. I learned that lesson with Casual Vacancy.
Why? What was wrong with that?
Well, you know, it's just I know now that when she says I'm not her target audience for a book, it means I'm not her target audience for a book. So, oops, you know, shame on you.
Well, I don't even think I would buy it because I feel like if it's a book for 6 to 7 year olds, which she has said, then I don't think I would read this, right? Because
I would rent it. I would get it from the library. You wouldn't buy it because you know it's just not for you. If you don't have a kid or if you're not a kid.
I would buy it because the thing about it being for younger kids is it's going to have like all those nice little messages about life and it's going to teach me like what to do with myself. And, you know, it's going to be
true.
Like my Dr. Seuss, but by J.K. Rowling.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be all that cheery.
It's like how my pet died, and then I felt.
That's the thing is, you know, to be honest,
that's a casual vacancy.
Even if, but I'm talking about Harry Potter. Even if Harry Potter focused, I think, a little bit too much on death, you know, as a big thing. So I don't know. I wouldn't. Is a plane going by, or is it like a stampede, Micah?
Sound effect. It's like dum.
Oh, anyway. No, I don't think the children's book will be that cheery. I'm just saying, going by our past history, it probably won't be.
I will read it in the kids section of Barnes & Noble. Honest to God. I will sit down with the other kids in the Barnes & Noble. You know how they had the little kid table?
Will you read,
with the
you should
chairs.
Read to them.
I'll host daily readings of the children's book.
Oh,
gather
my
around,
God.
Kids. It's time to read. Witch in the Wardrobe. I don't know. What would she name? What would she name a kid? What was, like the Babbity Rab? It's time to read Babbity Rabbity. Gather around, everybody. That would be great.
Yeah.
Those are
scare me every time.
Stop belittling my jokes. So I think that's a surefire bet because a children's book, it won't take long to edit, really. I mean, the illustrations will take a while, but I think that could get out in 2013. She announced Casual Vacancy in, what, March, like we said, mm-hmm. and it came out 6 months later. So
I bet she could
announce the book and it would come out 2 months later, 3 months later, the children's book.
I'm interested to see what Warner Brothers comes up with as far as a new way to try and, you know, engage fans. It seems like...
You were going to say price gouge.
I was, but I changed it at the last minute. just in terms of, like, they came up with the exhibition, and then they moved over to, the studio tour, and they have the theme park, so it's... I'm sure there's other ideas that they can come up with, things to do.
You think so?
Well, also, where's the exhibition going next? It's back in New York, I think, through March.
Yeah.
And then, who knows?
They should go somewhere entirely new this time.
Yeah. Well, they weren't supposed to ever come back to the States. They were doing an international thing, and then I think they gave up for the holidays and just came back where they knew it would be successful.
I can't imagine how they moved some of that stuff. I mean, some of the stuff in that exhibition is huge. It almost cost a fortune.
Trains, planes, boats.
Yeah, planes. Like, I can't imagine one of that, like, that big Joker thing on a plane. Like, that thing is gigantic.
That's creepy as hell. I would not fly on the same plane as that.
No,
even if we're, like, in cargo
locked
up.
You wouldn't get a seat.
The Joker? The
no,
Joker,
yeah, of course
like,
not.
The Jack in the Box?
It would be, like, in the...
It would get a row.
Yes.
It would get a whole row. It would get the engine row.
Creepy ass thing, but no, actually, in the chat, here's a 2013 thing to look forward to. Eric Lejarv says announcement of MuggleCast the movie.
Oh my God, I wish that were true.
Or maybe a BBC miniseries.
How about MuggleCast the musical movie?
The
musical. MuggleCast the musical.
We can feature all of your rap songs, Andrew, and all of your. Music videos.
I was thinking Les Mis style, where like we just sing everything.
You've
My
seen
God,
it though.
Yes.
Tell us what is in the news today.
Mike, we don't do that already.
No, I wish we should do that sometime. Just sing everything.
Just a musical episode. Why the hell not?
It can only be 10 minutes because people wouldn't be able to stand anything longer than that. Yes, good ideas. Good ideas all around. So I think that's it for what to look forward to in 2013, unless anybody has anything else in that.
There's nothing more.
The world didn't end. I mean, so we should have a lot to look
really,
forward
to. Really, the sky is the limit.
Absolutely. Okay, and then to wrap the show, as we teased, Micah has an announcement. Micah, tell us, what is your announcement?
What's in the news? No, I think...
Micah is the news this time, yo.
Yeah, so... I was actually thinking we were just going to end the show and I would be able to say for the last time from MuggleNet, I'm Micah Tannenbaum. but yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big announcement after 7 years, leaving MuggleNet, won't be with the site anymore moving forward. I'll still be doing the podcast, mm-hmm. with all of you guys, but, mm-hmm. You know, it's been a crazy ride for 7 years. I've had a great experience and, you know, meeting a lot of great people, some of which are included in this call. I'm just joking. But yeah, so that's kind of the big announcement as you build it as, Andrew.
Right. Well, like you said, 7 years. I did 7 years at MuggleNet. You did 7 years at MuggleNet.
I'm just copying you.
Eric's done 77 years at MuggleNet.
And I don't look at you over 24.
And Selena was smart enough to stay away the whole time.
Oh, no.
Well, Micah, I will say you were my best hire ever at MuggleNet. I mean that.
Aww.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's just give a round of applause. A pat on the head. Oh, do we have applause?
Of course there's applause sound effect. Woo! I applaud Micah on 7 wonderful years at MuggleNet. And did you mention that at the end of this month was the end of this month? That'll be your, even though you've, like you may have mentioned, you've taken a step back for a little bit of a transition over the past few months. So, well, that's good. I think that's, I'm happy for you and your run at MuggleNet. Good times.
What are you doing next, Micah? Where are you
going?
Yeah,
what's next?
What's next? I mean, just a lot of stuff going on with work and for I mean, some of you know, but I don't think everybody knows that I work for the NBA, and so we're in season, and it's pretty crazy right now. And you know, that other podcast called Game of Owns, I'll be working on.
Yay!
Moving forward, and we released, because we did such a great job of promoting it earlier. We do 3 shows every week about the hit TV show and book series Game of Thrones, and we have a lot of fun with it. 3 of the hosts are on here right now: Eric, Selena, myself. We also have our friend Zach Louie, who's on the show, and Hodor makes an appearance every once in a while.
Hodor was on, yes.
Wow, another Game of Thrones appearance plug on this show. What on earth?
Well, you asked, what am I going to be doing?
Well, people are leaving nice messages for you. And
I thought you were going to just say they're leaving.
No, because they're sick of this sad news. But yeah, like you said, still be on MuggleCast. It's wherever the future lies for MuggleCast and all that. So, well, that's a great way to end the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been another great year of MuggleCast. You can visit MuggleCast.com to find our, you know, social media outlets, of course. We have the Twitter, which is twitter.com/MuggleCast. We have the Facebook, which is facebook.com/MuggleCast. You can find all the transcripts on MuggleCast.com. You can follow our fan Tumblr, or just go to MuggleCast.tumblr.com. And you can subscribe and review us on iTunes over there as well, and download all the old episodes. I know people like listening to the back episodes a lot, and that's one way to do it. So,
yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah. I was just
Crystal Flower says, play a song for Micah.
Okay.
Wait, who will do the news? Again, Micah's still going to be on MuggleCast. He's not leaving MuggleCast. So,
but I was just going to add really quick before we go that there are also transcripts of each show. You know,
I said that!
Did you?
Yes!
Oh. Well, I just wanted to thank them then for yes, all the hard work that they do. That's how I got my start, actually. You know, talking about leaving MuggleNet after 7 years, but that's how I got started with MuggleNet, MuggleCast, and so they do a great job over there. And it's kind of, it's thankless work, I think, in some respects, because you're
definitely
sitting here. They must never want to listen to a show when we normally put it out because they're so sick of hearing our voices over and over and over again. You know, just wanted to say thanks to Tracy and her group because they do a great job.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that. So we will see everybody next time for episode 261. Good night and good luck.
Good
and
night.
Happy holidays.
Good night. Yes. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
What a face. And before we end this broadcast, just thanks to everybody who's been listening on the live stream. We averaged about 130 people, so that was good.
Bye.
We will see everybody in the future for another episode. Goodbye.